Hey, Lethal Weapon fans, we are back. I know we were off for a week, but we are here to talk about all of the emotions that were happening in episode 12 and 13, so stick around.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I was gonna clean my room until I got high.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to AfterBuzz TV. We are talking about Lethal Weapon. Oh my god. I'm your host, Alexis Torres. You guys can follow me all over social media at atorres890. But I am not getting high because I can't because I'm allergic. But I'm happy that we're in high spirits here in the studio today. I got the awesome, the lovely, the talented Pietra.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much, Alexis. It's Pietra Elise here with Pietra Elise TV, and we're about to get into this emotional roller coaster of these two episodes. This was crazy.
Yo, I didn't even take notes the last part of that episode because I was so enthralled. Yes. I was trying not to cry because of my makeup. There was a lot.
Do you see this face? I literally was crying. I'm like, oh my god.
Just like big mm-hmm. snaps. Oh lord. Anyway, we are so happy that you guys are here. Kelly could not join us tonight because he is celebrating his daughter's birthday, so send him some love because he's awesome. You can find him at Chaos J. So we have a lot to talk about. We got two episodes, so here we go. Talking about episode 12, which I won't completely dive into for too much because it was a good episode.
Yeah,
but I want to get into the meat of 13 because that was insane. So episode 12, Digging Up Dirt. We have a friendly face that comes back. His name is Leo Getz.
Yes. Oh my god.
He is raring to go with his cards at a funeral and bothering people at lunch or brunch or whatever they're doing.
He has a lot to deal with.
Like, I know that they say that lawyers are sharks, but I feel like Leo is, like, he is the poster child for someone who was looking for work, and it's insane. I don't know. So he's back. He clearly just needs a job. Trish is just kind of enjoying her time off and just kind of meeting up with new people. I couldn't remember our victim's name. Nakamura, I think, was his name.
The first guy?
Yeah, the one that was running for mayor.
Oh, the one. Oh, I didn't get his name.
Yeah, so if you guys know, put it in the chat. But yeah. I know that, he was going to be running for mayor. Yes. And sadly enough, he met his demise when he got back to his car. And
that was
really, really
such
bad.
A Gene. Well, big.
Yeah, Gene.
Gene something. It was something like long. Mm-hmm. But that was a big hook. Like, I was not expecting that. Like,
I didn't even think about it. I thought, like, maybe, like, someone was going to come and, like, kidnap him or something.
We kind of was thrown off with Leo's personality, you know, him just, you
he's
know.
Just a shiny distraction.
So we were, like, paying attention to that, and then all of a sudden, she's waving by, and then, bam, and I'm like, oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. They showed that. That was crazy. I wasn't ready to lose somebody so quickly.
I'm just still in shock because I can't believe that happened. And it was so early on in the episode. So I'm like, okay, we're going to start off with a bang. Like,
literally. It's intense. And also how Leo jumped on Trish.
Yeah.
And was just like, I'm just protecting you. And she's like, get off of me.
Right. And that's one thing I will say that I can appreciate about the writers. Mm-hmm. Like, I notice every time there's a touching moment or something happening that's very emotional.
Yeah.
They try to, like, smooth out the vibe a little bit. You know, with a little bit
of humor.
Yeah.
Just a tiny bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that about this show. And Leo was kind of just in it, in every place of this episode. So
he was all over.
Yeah, so we find out that this guy has been following Gene everywhere, mostly because of the fact that he's been meddling and stuff the guy is supposed to take it. Serrano is a guy who's kind of like a clean, like kind of like what Olivia Pope is to politicians, but for him, he's more into crime and things like that. He cleans up stuff that doesn't need to be out there. But it's interesting because Serrano knows so much stuff about the fact that Gene was looking into Delgado, which we got him back for a little bit. Also, that prison scene was a lot for me.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Was not expecting a shanking to be happening at any time soon.
And then they just jumped in as if, like, they were a part of the staff there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, is that, can they do that?
I don't know.
I mean,
that gate was open.
So many rules are broken in this show.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, it was random because I always understand, like, you know, you've went through training to be a deputy, but at the same time, sometimes they take on a lot two people. It's like, come on.
I think it's just for TV.
Because
I feel like a real detective would be like, nope, sorry, I guess our dude's dead.
Absolutely. Especially when you know you're walking up and a guy calls out your name and you know that you're probably the reason he's in jail.
Yeah.
I would not try to go anywhere close to that.
Yeah, because that was the first thing I thought of. I was like, Murtaugh.
Yeah.
Really? Mm-hmm. The people. The guy called your name out. You know, you put several of these people away. Yeah, he threatened you, and you're like, I'm gonna jump in and help out.
Superman.
Okay.
Okay.
Get out of here. But, I mean, I thought Delgado was gonna die right then and there when that happened. Cause he got stabbed, what, 3-4 times in the gut?
Yeah.
I was surprised. But it's fine because we needed him for exposition.
And that's what I was gonna say. I don't think they could have, you know, killed off his character too soon because, you know, we wouldn't have gotten any information.
Yeah, so when he showed up in the hospital, I was like, oh, I guess we're all good. He's gonna be fine, but I'm also really worried because he's also in a hospital probably near the prison.
Anything can happen.
But yeah, so he was talking about that. Also at the same time, he would leave his that home that Miranda and Riggs got married in to other politicians and friends and things like that who needed the space. So so we jump into the fact of they go to his funeral, the Jean's funeral, and Serrano shows up again with the town car, and they realize that he is somebody who's been, you know, cleaning up people's messes, and they go to the restaurant that he owns. I think it was a dim sum restaurant.
Yeah.
And the things that came out of this man's mouth was, I was like, I wasn't ready for it.
To be honest, I think Riggs handled that very well.
He could have. He could have killed him. And
I can't imagine being in Riggs' situation. He has been through so much.
Yeah.
And just to have someone, and just to have someone, like, especially someone that you already know is dirty, come at you and reveal so much information that he knows about your wife and your childhood, it's like, I wouldn't have been surprised if Riggs would have killed him.
Yeah, like,
I wouldn't have been surprised. Like, because he literally said everything he could say.
Yeah, especially because the fact that we got to see that clip of Miranda asking Riggs about his dad, and he's like, oh, he's dead. And he's like, okay, well, you're not going to lie to me, right? And clearly she was under suspicion, asked him to be, because he's also, Serrano was also a PI, asked him to look into Riggs, and obviously found out a lot of dirty laundry. Which, opinion, I feel like, sure, all of us always feel like sometimes the people in our lives will lie about certain things, but clearly the reason he said that his dad was dead was because he's a deadbeat dad. And so you can't really be mad at that, but I also understand that there's also that fine line of like, well, if he lies about this, what else does he lie about? I don't know. It's family stuff. It's tough, you know? He doesn't want to talk about it with you. I feel like you should give him that space. No? I don't know. It's a weird space.
It is weird. I feel like because they had so much of a committed relationship, like, you know, as far as when we saw the first clip of her, how he, you know, lied about something jokingly, or I forgot something he lied about. And then she said, you know, just promise me that you will never lie to me again.
Right.
So I think it was one of those things where they were establishing trust for each other.
Yeah.
So I think it's bigger than the actual reason why. It's the principle that you lied again type thing. But at the same time, I do understand why he did it, because maybe you have to And it's so sad because Riggs, I can tell, even though he's going to therapy, he does not like to talk about it.
No.
So by saying that, hey, my dad is dead, okay, that eliminates all questions, that eliminates all discussions that we can ever really talk about, because if he's dead, you're not going to keep asking me. So I think that's what he was trying to
do. Of course. And I think that was like probably the best excuse he will ever be able to use, depending if he meets somebody who doesn't know anything about his past, which clearly every woman that he's dated after Miranda has either been a cop, or someone of that nature who just knows his past, or a friend.
Yeah, so, and I also just feel like it just depends on where a person is in their life. Of course, Riggs is not where I'm thinking, because the first thing that comes to mind, if someone is like, oh, this person is dead, and they're really not, maybe they're dead to you, meaning on a deeper level of, okay, that chapter is closed, they're dead, moving on. But Riggs, in his situation, of course, he didn't mean it like that.
Yeah.
He's not even really released it, or like, And that's what's going to continue to hinder him until he does.
Yeah. And like I said, like the only people, at least women wise, who know, because I don't think even Murtaugh really knows like the deep stuff of Riggs. He knows a little bit. He knows that his old man used to beat him. And that was as far as we probably, like he probably got. But
as far as with his dad?
Yeah. At least I meant like Murtaugh knowing about like Riggs' history at all. I mean, clearly, like I said, Cahill knows everything about it because I know that people ship those two together that, you know, she knows a lot about his history. His first girlfriend, who I can't remember her name, the blonde, who's also works in D.C. in the first season. Yeah, it's all good. she also knew a lot about his background as well because she works as a Fed. And then Molly, who's his best friend, who obviously knew about the fact that he got shot in the face. So,
I was looking like, for her these episodes, too.
I know. I thought I'm it was like, her in the beginning because we couldn't see her face. Was like, and I was
is
like,
is that her?
Is that, like, what's happening? Yeah. Did he go back to her? I'm confused.
Right.
No, it was Miranda. But anyway, so as soon as Miranda came back into the episode, I knew that we were going to get something from either her parents or her past or something. But I love that we found out a huge chunk of it that Miranda's like, I don't trust you, and I need to find out why you're lying to me. And we can clearly see from that scene that she's like, lying to me is a pretty big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very interesting. I enjoyed it. But yeah, definitely thought that guy was going to die. Instead of shooting him, he shot his fish tank.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which, I mean, that sucks, because that's also, you have to pay for that. So that was rough. Anyway, so Leo and Trish decide to team up, and they work late. Every time these guys have Chinese food on the show, I crave Chinese food. I don't know what it is, but I want it. Leo and Trish work late. They find out that there's a scandal between that Gene was looking into between O'Brien, who was running for mayor also, I believe, and this girl named Monica. Apparently, Monica O'Brien and, or no, Monica Serrano and, not Serrano, who am I thinking of? Monica Jean and Leo were all working together. As soon as Monica was higher up, she pretty much, Leo got kicked out, Jean was doing his own thing, and so there was a lot of speculation. But then, yeah, we found out from seeing the stuff that Gene was looking into that O'Brien and Monica were having an affair because O'Brien was married, I believe. And then she went missing. What? I didn't think that it was that she, like, when they said that she went missing, I was like, okay, either A, she's dead, or B, she's being held up somewhere and we don't know where she's at.
I don't think she was dead. The first thing I thought was somebody had her hostage or something. Or
yeah,
something
like someone put her, like someone put her away. Like, hey, here's some money. You have to go to this house and you stay up there and you can't tell anybody that you're here.
Right.
Yeah. But the thing that tipped me off was when they found, when Leo, who rudely showed up at the house at 2 a.m., was like, I have information. I'm like, why are you coming here at 2 a.m.? You can't wait till it's a decent hour.
Once again, my thing with the Murtaughs, that's my thing. They don't really have.
Yeah, they just let people in whenever they want. Yeah. I thought about you.
That's my thing. I'm like, why do they always let people in? You know, it's a subtle, like, you know, it would be unrealistic if they didn't have any emotion.
No.
But it's very subtle to the point they have no rules or regulations.
Just letting people in and out. Out of their house, whatever.
Throwing
they want.
Rocks at the I'm like,
I would have been like, come back in the morning. Not now. I know it's 2 a.m. now, but I mean like 6 a.m. The sun
and
is up.
And my thing is, how did he even get in the house to grab the kids' board?
No, I think what happened, like, I think he went in there and started like drawing on it, and these guys.
I'm
assuming it's like 4 or 5 a.m. now because he had to make that presentation. Because there's no way, unless he took it the last time he was there for some reason and left. I'm assuming he had to do that on the spot.
But at the same time, I guess, you know, we never know how we'll feel because it seems as though Trish and
Roger.
Yeah.
No. Leo.
The guy who the mayor who was they were really close.
Yeah.
So
Gene,
it's like, you know, if you think about it, if your friend something happens, you're gonna want to know.
And she saw it
was
too.
There. Yeah. So you're gonna want to know. So I get it, but it's just like the timing is
you
always
have a baby,
bad.
A newborn, like a 1-year-old
that
in the
started
house.
Crying when he was there.
I love when he was like, "You woke up, Harper," and I was like, "You woke up, Harper."
Exactly.
You're the one
you
couldn't
ring the doorbell, like
oh my god, like a normal person. Mm-mm. Lord. So yeah,
but he reminds me of Riggs.
Oh yeah,
their
for
personalities.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Like, Roger is just surrounded by those types of people.
He attracts the crazy. That's what I'm saying. I mean, Trish is sound, but I feel like male-wise,
right?
His friends are all crazy, mm-hmm. every single one of them. So we find out that that Monica Jones, she was supposed to go back to her hometown, which I can't remember for the life of me where it is. She bought a train ticket, but never showed up
mm-hmm.
at all. I think it was L.A., I think they were going... No, they're in L.A., so yeah. She was going to somewhere else. So, because I keep thinking this show is in New York for some reason. Maybe it's just all the
it's stuff. Here.
But anyway, Palmer, that's the girl from the first season who he was dating, who's a Fed. Sorry, thank you, Tanya. Yeah, she just said it in the chat. Monica went missing. No one ever found her, and we kind of just let it go, and nobody said anything. We found out that Riggs went back to the house. He had an inkling. We also got to see a little piece of him and Miranda's wedding. That was really, really sweet. But he starts digging because he talked to Delgado about the fact that they used to go up there and do stuff using the house. That he started digging, and he found Monica's body in the backyard. Underneath the dance floor where they got married.
I'm so, like, sad. Like, I
that
can't
was
even.
Awful.
I don't even have energy to explain how I feel, because now that we learn more about Riggs and see the stuff that he goes through, mm-hmm. and he keeps getting trapped in the circle.
Every time.
In the circle of his wife. Like, he will never be able to fully heal or let it go, because it keeps hunting him in different ways, even mm-hmm. at his job.
Yeah, because it's usually, I mean, not saying usually, but obviously in certain things, if your wife dies from something traumatic, you know, like a car accident, like Miranda did, it's usually like, oh, it was a car accident, it was awful, and you can get the pieces in that one story.
Closure.
But because Miranda's dad, Delgado, was with the cartel and has all these different people, she was actually dead because of his demons, and then now it all intertwined. And the fact that Riggs is a cop, so it just, he cannot escape it because crime is always there, and they all know about who Delgado worked for.
That's why I have felt so if much. Riggs is going to do this job, and if he wanted to be a cop, he should have moved
mm-hmm.
and started a new life, because
He tried.
You think he tried?
He did. Well, because they were living in Texas mm-hmm. in the first season, and then he moved back to L.A.,
Why did he leave Texas?
Because he didn't want to be, because his wife died in Texas. So he's like, I don't want to be here anymore because it makes me sad.
Okay, let's be real. Even he's still dealing with it in L.A.
Yeah, because the Delgado lives in L.A.
Exactly. Mm. So I feel like he would have did better in Texas.
But then we wouldn't get Lethal Weapon.
Get it. It's really sad. Like, what all this man has went through.
I know. I'm hoping that we get, because I mean, we'll get into it for episode 13, because I have... episode 13 was probably one of my favorite episodes, but there's also a lot of things I will rant about in episode 13 that I was kind of like, the fudge? Anyway.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, we'll get to that. So, sadly enough, Monica died, but then we have this traumatic moment of when Serrano shows up at the house, pretty much, which I will give him credit, even though it's an awful thing to give him credit for. His cover-up, if he did go through with it, with having Riggs hang himself over the place. Yeah, awful. But also, I'm like, okay, yeah, that was actually really smart. Still awful, but very smart.
But that's what he does for a living.
Yeah, I was like, okay, so he is the best of the best.
He's just on it.
On his feet. Yeah, that was mm-hmm. crazy. And it wasn't like, oh, we're going to kill him here, like, we're going to shoot him here. No, like, we're going to set it up.
And it would have made so much sense. And that's why...
Woof. But yeah, Murtaugh made it there in time. Serrano didn't die, but he definitely got hurt in that process. So then he went to jail. They were able to pin the murder of Monica on O'Brien, which is huge because he was also running for mayor.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of arrests. And obviously during all of that, Murtaugh was using his big boy voice to try to become captain. Which obviously failed because O'Brien had to go to jail and Avery couldn't go and run for something else. So, woof. But that was episode 12. Let's jump into episode 13, Better Living Through Chemistry. Okay, guys. So, there's a lot to cover in this episode because a lot happened. So, let's start off with RJ because it was a little blip in the episode. Mm-hmm. RJ, which is why we picked the song in the beginning, is going through some things. Mostly change. I'm going to say that RJ is going through change. Change.
Yeah, it's not depression. No. It's not all this extra stuff that they're making it. He's growing up. He's starting to have questions. He's starting to understand life a little bit, which I find is very good for his age because most guys...
Yeah, they don't really.
They don't have that mindset that... Is RJ like 17?
Yeah, he's like 17, 18 years old.
Most guys don't have those questions or, you know, they don't think about life really until, I don't even want to throw a number out there because some guys still haven't figured it out.
I mean, yeah. I'm like, maturity does not have an age apparently because we hit it at random moments, mostly men. Because most women usually
mature faster.
Much faster. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, come on, we deal with a lot. So, yeah. So, I was very proud of him, but I also understood it's like you're out of school. You're trying to figure yourself out. So, you want to sit in a pool and just kind of.
Which is good that he's trying to do this. And this is why I say that he's very advanced for his age because if a kid is not going to college at his age, they're hanging out with their friends, probably smoking, partying.
I definitely thought
letting life go by.
I thought he was high. Like,
so my thing
pool.
Is, at least he's, I mean, I know it's bad because he's not having any activity in his life, but at least he's just hanging out at home. You don't have to worry about him just being in the streets or something happening, you know?
I completely agree. Especially as with parents with a cop and an attorney.
Oh,
like, come on.
Yes.
Like, you don't want to get into too much trouble. So him just hanging out at home is probably the best option you got for now.
Now, where is his sister?
Yeah, I don't know.
Where? Because I'm just like,
Rihanna's just out and about doing stuff because she's still in high school. So I'm like, did you ghost?
Where is she?
You know what? I think she went on a trip, like a school retreat trip. Because I think a few episodes ago, Trish mentioned that she was going to be gone for 2 weeks or 2 or 3 weeks. Something crazy like that because it's still summer, I think, at this point. Or summer, fall. I can't remember.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I remember her mentioning it because she was like, you're signing this, she's leaving. Like, Trish was super happy about it, and I couldn't remember what
it was.
I don't
remember because I'm always puzzled by,
where
is the kids? Where, like...
Yeah, because at least with RJ, we're like, oh, he's in college, he's busy, but now he's not. So you're like, oh, he's at home now, so now I have to look for him, baby Harper and Rihanna.
Right.
It's too much. But yeah, I'm assuming she's on a trip, girls retreat, something. She's finding herself, you know, as a teenager. I don't know.
Right.
But yeah, so I also love that Trish also wasn't just like, oh, he's being a dumb teenager. It was more like, you know what, I'm concerned because... You know, depression does hit younger teens and younger adults faster than most adults. We should just go get it checked just in case. Like, I love that she's aware of that. Because most parents are like, depressed? No, you're lazy. And I'm like, lazy is not a term.
I feel like she has 3 kids. So, you know, she knows how to handle things, how to approach things in a manner that is like.
That have like 5, 6 kids who like don't know what they're doing.
She's an attorney. She
knows what she's doing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I liked that they went that route. Like, hey, maybe he is. I don't know. But I also love the fact that the psychiatrist or the therapist was like, no, he's fine. But he is feeling ashamed because you judge him too much. Murtaugh in this scene driving me crazy. I was could you shush?
What? I knew it. I thought about you because I'm like, there he goes.
He's just running his mouth.
There he goes.
Why would you blame your wife about dropping your son on his head? Like, what does that have to do with anything right at this moment? Like, just
and then he kept going, and I'm just like, just stop.
Why are you running your mouth? Be
just
quiet.
Stop. Like.
Oh my god! And here's awful.
Here goes the therapist.
Yeah, I love. I love that you started giggling because you're like,
I'm like, okay,
yep. She knew what she was doing. She's like, I'm gonna make this nice and loud so you can hear it because I know that this is what's happening right now. But I love that the fact that Trish was very not calm, but she was very quiet during that.
Yeah.
Because I'm sorry if you just like outed me in front of a therapist, I would have been like, oh, you want to go this route? Here we go. You have an hour right here. These are all the
Betty
things.
Betty.
Yeah. I was like. Yeah, that's where I'd be at. Sorry, honey. But yeah, I was just like, what is the matter with you? But I love the scene with him and RJ where he's like, no, I'm not the superhero that you think that I am.
Oh,
I know.
Alexis.
No, it got me because it was That is the one thing when we were kids that, like, your parents are unstoppable, you know, and unbreakable. Like, they can do no wrong. But you have to remember that your parents are human, too. They have to deal with money. They have to deal with their own struggles. You know, three kids. Like,
it's hard. Really made me look at it from RJ's perspective, too, mm-hmm. because... all it took was a few sentences, and he was like, oh, so you do worry. It was like a light bulb that went off. And it just goes to show how, not even just kids, but how people, you know, just want to know that, hey, we're all the same. Yeah. You know, we all go through the same thing. You know, like, oh, you worry just like, oh, I'm not by myself. Oh, I'm not alone. Mm-hmm. Oh, that helps. That makes things a little bit better, you know? And that scene was so powerful to me because of what I just said, and because it's like, okay, I just think about so many other people, too, that have that mindset and that perspective. Mm-hmm. And they go through things and they feel like they're alone. Mm-hmm. And then they start having suicidal thoughts or they start, you know, getting depressed, all this, because they feel like, hey, I'm the only one in the world that feels like this and I'm by myself.
Yeah.
So that was really cool because it literally took two sentences and he was like, oh, yeah, me and Dad's going to be watching.
Yeah. You know, it was enough for him to be like, okay, I can get out of this now knowing that I have
someone. It was like a relief.
Yeah.
You know,
and you could see it. And that was the great thing about Dante, the actor who plays RJ, is that his face was, you could see that he was down the entire episode. And then immediately after that talk, he went, oh, and like you saw, you can feel the weight being lifted off.
Yep.
And he was like, all right, I'm going to go.
Yep.
And it was great. And I love that he, Murtaugh also realized, like, oh, you this have to remember that this, your kids are always watching. It doesn't matter how old they get. It doesn't matter how young they are. They're always watching you. Mm-hmm. And that is how you have to realize that you have to let them know that you're human. It doesn't matter what it is. It's like, I can get angry. I can become sad. And that's why I love when, like, dads are like, oh, little boys don't cry. Like, when when a dad's like, no, you can cry. You know, I cry. It happens.
Right.
It
right.
doesn't mean you're less of a man or more of a man if you don't. Like, I like that that is a thing. And I love that even though Murtaugh has, like, foot-and-mouth syndrome 90% of the time, he also knows when to turn it off.
But I feel like that,
with his, at least with his kids. I don't know about certain people.
And that was so, like, I don't know, like, just the look on his face still, like, I would have loved to be on set for that moment because even when Trish walked in and she's like, oh, hey, guys, what you guys doing? He's still in the zone. Like, he, his facial, everything was like, dang, like,
that's really. Yeah, because it hit him, and he was like, oh, oh God, I should have picked up on that. And it was just such a vulnerable moment between the Murtaughs. And we've had those before, but that's why I think I like this episode the most, is because it was only a few sentences and it was enough for all of us to go, there it is. I see it now.
That's the core.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
That was amazing. So I'm glad that RJ is slowly up on the rise again. We probably won't see him for the next couple episodes, but
I know.
It's okay. That was a really good episode. Speaking of RJ coming back, we also had Gina. Okay. You guys know
much
I hate Gina. She is so annoying, you guys. Witch with a B. I'll say it. I don't like using those terms against females because it ain't right, but oh my God, she is the worst.
And you know, I'm the type of person, I strongly believe what goes around comes around and you will reap what you sow. And even though she's playing a character, I wouldn't even take this role because literally like, just like the things that she do is like, what?
Oh God.
You have your nerve.
Like, I understand where you're coming from to a point where it's like, hey, like we're reliable. But at the same time, like you should also understand again that there are human ways to handle this.
And you just, that's probably why she's probably single.
I would assume so. Like, yeah.
She's probably like, she has to be.
Oh God. She drives me up a wall. So she's back and she wants Riggs out. And we've known this for a while, but she's really pushing it.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that she even put Cahill's job on the line. She's like, well, if you're going to sign this, you know that's your career.
Then repeatedly came back. She's already answered your question, woman.
She already signed your paperwork.
Why are you coming back?
Oh, here, would you like some wine out?
What do you want?
Get out. I'm done with you.
What do you want? I literally would tell her, you are no longer welcome in my office.
Get out. Like, I can't with Gina. I'm like, if you're not going to have anything constructive to say, I need you out of my office. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, Felicia! Oh, my
like,
God.
And she only pops up when there's a problem.
Yeah, she's never there on just
she's
a regular basis.
She's never there to witness the beautiful moments that's happening. She's always there when there's a problem.
And she saw it. She saw it that one time where she's like, okay, I see why Riggs is the way he is. And then things calm down a little bit. But, like, if you knew the things that the audience and we knew, you'd be like, oh,
But are yeah. would she? Are would she?
I mean, I don't know. Because maybe she'd be like, oh, you're too unstable. You have to leave. You have to leave right now. I veto everything that I just said. I just need her to take several steps back.
I don't even like, I'm not even going to go there.
Mm-mm. Yeah, no, I can't. Yeah. I'm going to just, that's my Gina rant.
Here's the thing.
That was it.
If I don't have nothing good to say, I'm not going to say nothing at all. So I'm going to just sit here.
Yeah. And you're much better than her because at least you know better. She does not. She just opens her damn mouth. I'm sorry. Okay. You're a much better woman than I am. Anyway. So I'm also upset with Cahill just a little bit in this episode, but we'll get to that. So Cahill was going to see a patient. And and in my head, I understand why she did this action, but I'm also like, you also know this person is unstable. So she visits this guy named Stanley. That's her patient. He goes, Dr. Cahill, can I have a hug? And I went, look, if he wasn't actually trying to get something, he could have actually just stabbed you or strangled you or whatever. Like, I feel like I understand that you trust your patients.
And I don't know why.
But you also understand that there's a reason why you're here.
And I don't know why she trusts people that are crazy. Because it's not like, you know, it's them wanting to hurt you.
They can't control it. Yeah. You never know what's happening. If you're going to do that, you have to have someone in.
And they're trained for that, right?
Also, because it's TV land, I'm like, no. Also, if you're going to be visiting a patient, there's going to be an orderly with you every single time. Like, you can't just be alone in a room.
She's just like, oh, okay, yeah, sure, yeah.
Yeah,
even when it happened, even when he grabbed her, she didn't scream. She did nothing. I'm sitting here looking like.
Also, the fact that there's no orderly outside the door. I was like, what is happening? They walked out of that door, down the hallway, used her badge, and left.
She literally
got a car.
Didn't say anything. She's like, what are you doing?
What's happening?
I'm like, Stanley!
What's happening? Oh,
something,
my gosh.
Yeah, so
why
somebody
are you wearing
can hear.
This coat? Like, just something. Just
why are you wearing this coat?
Because he took a doctor's coat. I was so angry. I was like,
oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God. What the hell is happening? I mean, again, she was in a hostage situation, so you're trying to stay calm because you're with an unstable person. But the fact that you were alone.
I was upset that even going down the hallway, she didn't scream. She didn't do anything. Okay, at this point, you need to let someone know that you're in danger, even if it's like, you know, a little bit, like just yelling his name little bit. Something. She did nothing.
Drop something, kick something, go, oh, I've tripped. I'm so sorry.
Then had the nerve to get out the trunk.
And get up like, I'm going to kill him.
And
I'm
say,
like,
where is he? Girl!
You should have done that earlier.
Like, what was that person 10 minutes ago?
Oh, sorry. You were stuck in a trunk duct tape. How did you get there? How did that happen? Mm-mm. Cahill, can you explain that to me? Because that would be great. Because, again, that's also how I knew. I was like, what's wrong with this facility? There has to be something wrong because nobody was in this hallway.
Nobody.
There was one guard. And he's like, I'm just going to
nobody. And then he was like just hanging out, just turning the corner. Like,
yeah. Like, what are you? Did you wake up with a whistle this
morning?
Do
you guys not know you work?
Like, no, that's not how facilities like that work. There are many orderly guards, all that kind of stuff, in every nook and cranny of this place. I was like, either TV land is just, like, the TV world of this world is either way too lax, or this place is actually just corrupt. Like, I can't tell this point, because I was like, this is not right.
Right.
You should know better. This is awful. And also, which we'll cut back to, I just want to talk about it real quick, when Riggs was in there, and he was looking at medicine.
Yeah.
How many guards were in there?
Yeah.
There's like 4 or 5 people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where were you?
I noticed that. I'm even mad they even put Riggs in that situation, though.
I knew it was happening. It happens in every TV show. I was waiting for it. I was like, they're going to put Riggs in a mental hospital, and this is what's going to happen.
Oh, that's so sad,
I was scared he was going
to
get trapped.
It's hitting too close to home.
Oh, my God. It was too much. I thought he was going to stay there. I thought we were going to be like, to be continued for next episode. And I would have been like,
that man.
He's dead.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Thinking about like sitting there watching that moment. I got a little deep because I'm just like,
I got nauseous.
I got a little deep because I'm like, man, you really, everyone really, really, really has to be thankful for healthy childhood memories.
Mm-hmm.
Because we see with
we
Riggs,
see all the bad ones.
And we see how traumatizing it can be. Like, this stuff is still hunting him. Even after he, like, fell out at the mental institution, it keeps playing in his head.
And he had a happy marriage.
How do you break that, though?
Lots of therapy. Lots and lots of therapy. But
I don't think therapy in Rick's situation, because I'm like, Cahill,
he's also a cop. That's hard. That's tough. I don't even know. I mean, obviously to him, drinking is probably his best bet. But I feel like,
even with that, my thing is, okay, he's a grown man. You can't monitor somebody 24 mm-hmm. hours out the day. No. Okay, first of all. Mm-hmm. But how do you even get someone to, because everything about change starts with the mindset first. Mm-hmm. So the question would be, how do you even get someone to change their mindset to want to change? This point in his life.
Yeah, I think that's probably what the biggest thing about Lethal Weapon is. It's like, you need to change. Because we saw that from Cahill, where she's like, what the hell is the matter with you? You can't keep doing the things that you're doing. You're just going to end up hurting somebody. But what does it take?
I mean, he's dealt with death in the family. So many. Around him is dying. Yeah. Everything is a joke. Even, I don't want to jump ahead, but even the whole living life on edge type thing, even when someone like sits him down and really is 100% with him.
Yeah.
It's like, at what point do you wipe your hands?
That I don't know. I mean, Cahill, I don't think career wise she can, like, it won't let her go. So she will be there for the long haul. I feel like he probably kept a lot of that stuff down for a majority of his life. And then when he met Miranda, I think it all changed for a little bit because he wasn't really thinking about it. He was happy. And then obviously when she died and then all of that stuff started happening, I think that's where it kind of, that snapping point for him, I think that's when the floodgates opened. I think so.
I feel like that too, but I'm just saying, okay, once it happens, because we all go through things mm-hmm. in life. So once that happens in your life, how do you get out of it? How do you, because I just sat and I thought about my life and how I'm like, I've never been through, like, you know, I've had people die before. My sister, 18 years, passed mm-hmm. away. I mm-hmm. get it. But in his situation, it's literally like, back after back after mm-hmm. back after back, your mom, your dad, your wife, your mm-hmm. father-in-law, like everybody. How do you get the mindset? Because of course he knows he needs to change. Everyone is telling him that. But how does he say, okay, I'm ready to do this and really, truly, genuinely mean it?
I don't know. I guess at least for Riggs, I'm going to say at least that the fact that even though he's a cop and he has to see all these terrible things happening like around him or with him or anything of that nature, I think in his head, if he can save one life, maybe it's enough. I don't know. It's hard because we can't talk to the character directly, because that is also a question I would have.
We can, and we're gonna figure it out.
We're gonna figure it out. We're gonna talk to you. I want to talk to the writers because I'm like, where do you guys get this stuff?
Right.
But yeah, it's it's crazy. I feel like if a person is going through something like that, they have to have a good support system. They have to have like a routine, because I know like with my therapist, when I saw my best friend and my girlfriend commit suicide and I found her body, like, that was rough. Oh, but I was really young. Pause. Sorry, that was a lot. We don't need to go into that. It's not about me. I'm done. No. So, like, I had to go through, like, I had a good support system. I had a good therapist. I had activities. Like, I was pretty much, like, so busy that I didn't have time to think about it. That was my way of doing it.
Your mind was already set.
I mean, you have to not understand at the time.
With Riggs.
Yeah.
Like, you wanted to work. Are you made a schedule for yourself to work, or you just was naturally busy?
No, they just made me. Like, my parents and, like, my therapist. Other people. This was younger. I was 15, I think, at the time. So, uh-huh. Yeah. But then as an adult, obviously, stuff like that still comes up.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and I just have to go through those steps. Like, the thing is, he will probably never get over it, but there are ways to get better slowly. It's very, very slow. But again, I've also never been in Riggs's shoes.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I mean, we both can relate, because I was like 12 when my sister of 18 years passed away. So she was like a mom. So we get it. But I'm saying, like,
I think it's just because it's TV. I think it's just traumatizing.
He actually, like, oh, dang, I just remembered how his mom, like,
yeah, we're about to get into that right now. Speaking of, so obviously we found out that the only way to find out that this facility, because we found out that Stanley was not acting himself when he took Cahill hostage. Jose was a person who was not helping him, but they found out that he was a roommate of Stanley. Also, the fact that he was off his meds, found out the reason why they were off their meds was because the facility was giving them placebos. And they were selling the actual meds, lithium, antidepressants, things
making
like that.
Making bank!
Oh, did you guys see?
Making a meal!
Like, what?
I'm like, how are you making a million? selling drugs.
Cool. So pretty, and that also dirty. That also makes me so angry because dirty. It's like your job is to help these people.
Oh yeah,
but instead you're making a profit out of these people and not helping.
Selfish.
Them.
Selfish.
It's
and
awful.
Then he even told Riggs that he said, "Did you know how much we? This is the career that you chose."
Mm-hmm.
The income, if you really love it, money will come. Like, you know? He started getting older, started realizing that, hey, this is it.
This is what happened with what, 2 episodes ago?
What's his name?
Yeah. Oh, my God. I was so angry.
Like, this is it. We're up in age. Like, it's only so much more we can do. We have to make the best out of what we have. And his best option was, okay, I'm going to start selling these drugs. And had this case wouldn't have come about, he probably would have been doing that for a much longer time.
Continued doing what he was doing. I bet you those guards or orderly and were probably also being
and
paid.
And you know what? Exactly. Mm. That's what I was thinking. Because I'm like, they knew. They're in there organizing everything. He's probably giving them at least 50.
Under the table.
Yeah.
Under the table, oh, yeah. For sure. I was like, I hate everybody that's in this building right now, except for the poor patients.
That does something to my... it does something to my spirit when I watch shows like this for a long time. Because I'm like, how can you...
How
all
do you do
y'all
this?
Just...
Stop it. Just stop it. Especially, but I
messed up.
But I like also the theme that was running through the fact that, like, the government or just, like, people in general don't take care of their elderly people, like, whether they're in careers or not. That the fact that they have to find terrible ways to make money because whether they're 401k or the government's not giving them the right enough money when they retire, like, their retirement money, like, it's just, it's not good.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, oh, if I just kill all these people and get money for it, I'm set. My kids are set.
That literally goes to show who you are as a person, though.
How can you
even sit back and think about kids and family and you're killing innocent people?
That's where that line is of like, are you actually doing this for them though? I feel like you're doing it for you because you're a terrible human being, just garbage. But yeah, so they said that, how are we gonna get in there because we don't have a warrant and we don't have anything else? What are we gonna do? And of course Riggs saunters out like everything's cool, and I'm like, oh, there it is.
Right.
Especially because we've been talking about his rage this entire episode. Mm-hmm. Even though that guy was a douchebag in the beginning, I don't think he definitely deserved to have his car totaled the way that
which
the guy in the beginning, the deputy.
Oh yeah,
whatever his name was. I can't remember his name, but yeah,
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but the guy in the beginning who got his car totaled by Riggs, I was like, okay, he was a douchebag, but he definitely didn't deserve that. Riggs was just trying to help.
It was literally a lot.
I'm like, Riggs was trying to help, it just wasn't his morning, and you need to be calm about these things. I understand why you're upset because you just got a new car. There's tomato beer.
But like he just, I mean, like Cahill said, I mean, Riggs is always living his life on the edge, whether it's literally on the edge or any second if you say something, I'm like gonna snap.
Yeah. And he just, you gotta reel back,
bro. And
he
went from a 1 to 100.
So fast. I was like, okay, well.
I'm like,
all right.
Is this really, you're going to ram it again and ram it again? And, you have a point to prove. Okay.
Okay, great. Good job.
Nice.
Testosterone. It's true. So of course Cahill's just like, I don't know what to do with you. And he's just like, well, you know, get in line. Apparently nobody else can figure that out also. I'm like, I just want to hug you.
Exactly. He needs more than that. It's like depressing to watch because it's like people genuinely love you and care for you. And everybody that comes into your life that wants to help you, all you're going to do is run them off.
Yep.
Yeah. And, like, it becomes a point where...
I think Murtaugh actually said that at one point. He's like, if you keep this up, you're going to be alone.
And it really becomes a point where it's like, you can't even fault the people that walk away. You can't fault them because it's literally like, if you continue to... It's like hitting a brick wall, and if you continue to do that, you're going to drain yourself out and tire yourself out for trying to help someone else that doesn't really want to be helped.
I agree. I don't know, man. But... obviously, during his time there, he gets caught because he's Riggs. I was like, why did you go after it right away? I mean, I enjoyed it because of the fact that they were able to go in there and help him right away instead of them waiting a day or two. But I also was like, I feel like they were only in there for like 10 minutes. And then
well,
he's like,
first of all, they were leaving as if they were dropping him off.
Yeah, so I was like,
what just happened? But then when they heard that, it's like, oh.
That's when they went back in. And I was just like, how long have you guys been there? Are you guys were going to wait the entire time?
They should have had a plan. Why would they even leave him like that?
I don't know. It was a very lax plan. And I was like, I feel like you guys did not think this through, besides obviously trying to punch the captain, who... Captain Avery dodged that very well, that punch. That was very nice. But yeah, so obviously Riggs got caught, thrown into a padded room, and given some, I don't even know, they didn't even say what drug it was that made him do the things that
whatever
he did.
Whatever it was, she was able to come back in.
Yeah, she needed adrenaline to bring him back up. So it must have been something that was, I'm assuming it was something to sedate him, but enough for him to be able, I don't know, it was just so strange. And so we got to see the scene, which breaks yourself, you know, if you haven't seen it. We see a moment that is actually the sweetest moment we've probably ever seen from Riggs' father at all in this entire series that we've known that he's still alive, or at least past flashbacks, that they went hunting, it's just the two of them, and he was like, hey, just want to let you know, mom's not doing very well, or, you know, I know she's trying to fight it, and that stuff that you've seen her on, it's not doing too well.
And that was good to also see that he hasn't always been the man that it was something, and maybe he reacted like that after his wife.
I think that's what Riggs said, that he's like, after my mom died, I don't even recognize.
But the thing
who
is, it
was.
Seems like she had talked to him about it, what she was gonna do, and it seemed like he knew that she was gonna
do something,
kill herself.
Yeah, whether
he just
it was
no win.
Yeah, I think it seemed like he was just trying to ease in the topic of that she was either going to stop treatments or do something drastic, which we sadly enough saw. But I wasn't expecting her to kill herself, like, right off the gate.
And to be honest, at first I used to always think, like, when people do stuff like that, they're a coward, they're not here for their family, da da da. I watched this movie called, dang it, I forgot the, Wicks, I think that's the name of it.
Oh,
have you seen that movie?
Yep. Yep.
It was so touching. And I was like able to see what people that have cancer really go through with that treatment.
Oh yeah.
Like it's really a lot on a person's body. So I don't think like he was trying to explain, you know, I don't think it was a matter of, you know, she's being selfish. Like she just wants to get out of here. It's just, you have to understand when a person is going through that, you have to be a really strong person to beat that sometimes. And why continue to fight, like, sometimes?
Especially because a lot of people see it as, like, you're suffering, even though you're trying to get better. And, of course, that's tough for any child to see their parent or younger sibling, like, especially little kids.
And I never knew how graphic it was until I seen that movie.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, I literally was in tears after that movie. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I thought about my grandmother because she passed away of cancer. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, dang, all this time, like, I never even knew what it was like to really go through those treatments.
Especially when you talk to, because I've visited other, like, volunteers at like St. Jude's and things like that, and it's crazy how you can meet like a little girl who's like 12, 13.
And you don't want to see people
of course not. But it's also crazy to see the ones that are like, I'm hopeful, and then obviously you can see the ones that have probably been doing it for a long time, like Riggs' mother, who's just like, I don't know what to do anymore.
Right.
I'm tired all the time, and I'm just like, oh, it sucks because you can't. Right. There's nothing you can do besides obviously just hoping to find a cure. And that's it.
It's every day you wake up from now on. It's like, okay, I'm waking back up to this thing to fight it every day. We wake up every day, you know,
just trying to get through it, you know, on our own. But that's just like the normal stuff.
Yeah, like I was saying, like for us, we have hopes and dreams. So every day we wake up, we can look forward to that. People that are going through cancer and stuff like that, every day they wake up is literally like, okay, I'm in these four walls having to go through the same thing. I'm suffering.
Yeah,
like
same medicine. Same being hooked up to an IV that's just giving me poison, pretty much, that's just trying to flush it out, even though it's...
And who's to say it won't come back?
Yeah, especially because when you go into remission, you're like, hey, I did it! But that also is not guaranteed
first
sometimes.
Step.
Yeah, but I mean, that's also that one piece of, like...
Is there anything to prevent cancer? Like, anything you can do
but
to,
you can
like...
But you can be the most healthiest person ever, and you could just get cancer. Just out of nowhere. It might have been something that was dormant.
That's why
you
gotta
always
pray for health, because...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. It's something that you just... You can't prepare for. Especially if you're either born with it, or like I said, it was a cell that was dormant, and it just comes up. Like, you never know. It's just like when people who are, like, who work out
so
all the time,
sad,
and
man.
They get, like, a brain aneurysm and just die. Like, just out of nowhere. You're like, what? They were jogging every day. They ate healthy. No, it's just... Life is short, and you need to live it to the way that you want to live it. Whether
absolutely.
You know, you're
every
in that
day.
Stage.
Mm-hmm. Every day. Make it count.
Be healthy. You know, like, think of it as, like, okay, if I died today, what did I do today?
Exactly. How did you accomplish something and leave a mark in this earth?
But for poor Riggs in this show, the fact that he was so young and had to see such a graphic moment, especially because he was very close to his mom, that... Lethal Weapon writers, holy smokes, that got us in this episode. That was rough because he was so hopeful for his mom. The dad was very sweet at that point in time.
That's when shattered dreams can stop. You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. Because when you have a goal, like, or you're hopeful for something, and then it just gets ripped right from in front of you.
Yeah,
it's just like
it's awful. But. Woo! That's what I love about the show is that even though there was humor and everything, because when Riggs woke up, when they finally, and the fact that the editing for that scene of like them, like Murtaugh saying the same things that his dad was saying to try to protect him and hold him and kind of, you know, shake him out of this, it was so moving. And the fact that when he woke up, he's just like, well, you guys finally got me in a straitjacket. And I was like, oh, there it is, covering up his pain with his
humor. Exactly. That's exactly what I thought. When I saw that, I said, typical, covering up your pain
with humor.
With humor.
It's just grade A, you know, stuff that people do if they're trying to hide, you know, whatever darkness that's hiding behind them. But yeah, so then we get back. Cahill's like, nope, I want him to be a cop. I think that he will be a good cop and I will keep tabs on him. We don't know where this is going to go. I'm hoping that it, now that he let that open, maybe there's something more we can work with.
She doesn't have any kids or like.
No. She's by herself.
She's literally taking on all this responsibility. And
also her drinking, I have problems with that. You know that you have
first
a patient.
Of all, she opened up to him about I feel like she got to a point where she was just like, okay.
I mean, she was off the clock. So I get why she did it, but I'm like, you know that you have a patient who's an alcoholic. Why would you open up a bottle of whiskey in front of your alcoholic? I understand that you're off the clock, but you should also be like, hey, you know what? I know I've had a bad day.
Do you keep turning that switch on and off? Like,
you know, can't do that.
Like, oh, we're buddies today. Oh, it's serious today. I'm your therapist.
I mean, again, I know that she's a human and she's allowed to have flaws, but also you can't mix your career and your personal life.
Especially that career, dealing with those type of people that are mentally ill.
You can't do that. Like, you can't. You need to know. I mean, again, I appreciate that we got to see what her flaws were, that she's not this perfect, you know, on a pedestal kind of woman, but also you need to pick and choose when you let that crazy out or let those flaws out sometimes, like, especially when you're dealing with people you have to be careful with. That's all I'm saying. That was, like, my biggest thing.
And you're right.
I bet you there was a therapist watching going, no, that's not how this works. You wait till you get into your own home and drink. You don't do this in the office, even if you're having a bad day. Oh my God. How are you going to get home? You're just going to sleep there? Like,
exactly.
It's not a good example. Anyway, so I want to know what you guys thought of these past two episodes. We will be back next week to talk about the next episode, which is episode 14. We are still trying to get across my fingers to get more guests on here. So definitely tweet out to the cast, everybody. I know that we had Jonathan in here, but you got to get, Keisha. We got to get Michelle. We got to get, Kevin, everybody, we want everybody to come in here. So definitely tweet at them, show them the show, tell them that we want them to be here, even though we kind of rip the writers a new one sometimes. It happens. But it's okay.
Just appreciate our honesty.
Hey, man, we love this show. That's why we're critical about it. That's all. Pietra, where can they find you on the internet?
You can find me at Pietra Elise TV on everything now. I have changed all my platforms, YouTube, Instagram. Everything is Pietra Elise TV, so follow me there.
Sweet, sweet, sweet. Don't forget to follow our awesome co-host, Chaos J, at Chaos J. You can find me all over social media at atores890. That's A-T-O-R-R-E-S 890. I'm doing Supernatural's coming back this week, so definitely check that out on Sundays. The Librarians is changing its time, so if you love The Librarians, which is a TNT show, watch it. We're doing our after show at 9 because Scandal's back, so it's at 9 p.m. now instead of 8 p.m., so definitely don't watch earlier because we won't be there. Anyway, thank you guys so much for hanging out with us.
Thank you all so much.
See you guys next week.
See you next week.
Bye!
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.